Where we live, here, this is not our home. It's so easy, isn't it, to put our roots deep here. But this is not our home. Now, we started to think about this last week. So we saw last week that our future home is a new creation. It's a glorious creation where God is there with his people. So this morning we're going to look at another aspect of that, thinking about our home that is with God, heaven, the new creation, however it is that you want to think about it. We're going to look at that, seeing that our home is with God, and that Jesus prepares the way, and that Jesus is the way. Now, we know the passage. Lockie read it for us before. It's well known and popular, isn't it? Those words of Jesus. So open up to John 14. Have it there in front of you. Those words of Jesus. In my Father's house are many rooms. Now, words of great hope and comfort that Jesus brings to his disciples who are troubled at this time, troubled with what Jesus has just told them. So the part of the Bible we're in here is known as the farewell discourse. Jesus prepares his disciples for his going. He is going, and they are troubled. So if we just consider the context, if you have a look in chapter 13, verse 1, Jesus says, John's Gospel says there, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And keep reading on. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And how is it that he does that? What is it that he goes on and does here? To his disciples, he washes their feet, Judas included. He's there with them, and Jesus goes around one by one, and he washes their feet. Now, what an act of servanthood that is. That was something that a servant, a slave would do, and a non-Jewish slave would do. But here, Jesus does it. He prepares his disciples for what he is about to do in going to the cross and washing away their sin. Jesus is going. Now have a look at verse 33. Jesus says there to his disciples, he says, "My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." Simon Peter, he responds, verse 36, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." The disciples are confused. They're troubled. What does Jesus mean that he is going? Where is he going? He can't go, not now. What about all that the disciples have given up these last few years in following him? Is Jesus really going to leave them? Jesus is going to prepare a home. To prepare a home for them and to prepare a home for you. Chapter 14. Jesus says, verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." This is not our home. Jesus has gone and he has prepared a place for us, a place with his Father. Have you had people stay with you? Your home, you've prepared your home for people to stay there. Maybe it was a child to have a sleepover. Maybe friends of yours or family. Maybe people that have come from overseas. Maybe a parent. Maybe a sick parent. You've prepared a place, prepared a room for them to stay with you. Jesus has gone and prepared a place for us to be with his Father. In his Father's house are many rooms. This is another image of heaven. It's a different image from last week, but this is still an image of God there with his people, and his people there with God. And here the image that we're giving is the setting of a home. Jesus going to prepare that place so that his disciples can be with him in his Father's house, to be at home with his heavenly Father. See, this is a home that we look forward to. Do you yearn for it and long for it? To be there with God, for God to be there with you. You see, that is our home with God. This is not our home. This is temporary. It is our home for now, but we don't know for how long. This home now where we live, this is not forever. Like the sandcastle, our home here will not last forever. Our home is with God. That is what we are destined for. And just imagine the welcome that we're going to get. Have you welcomed someone home? Maybe you've gone to the airport to meet them, to welcome them back. Maybe they were gone for a few weeks or months or years and you've been there. You've made sure you were there to welcome them. Maybe you've welcomed someone at home. You've put all the balloons up. You've put the welcome home banner up. Have you done that before? Here, Jesus is talking about preparing a place. Imagine us being welcomed by God the Father. Isn't that going to be tremendous? The welcome that we will receive by God our Father in the place that Jesus has prepared for us. Well, how does Jesus prepare this home? Is it his carpentry skills that come to the fore? Is that what it was all about? Why he was a carpenter? How does Jesus prepare this home? He's talking to the disciples here. He's going to prepare a place. How does he prepare the place? Well, where is it that he's going? He goes to the cross. On the night that he says these words, he is to be betrayed. He is to be arrested, put on trial, and then crucified. Jesus is the way. He prepares the way. And he is the way. That's what it says. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now that's also a very well-known verse, isn't it? maybe not as popular as the one about many rooms, Jesus claims he is the way. If you want life with God the Father, then Jesus is the way. He is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. See, access to God the Father, it is through Jesus and none other. Now, if we think back to Leviticus, in the tabernacle there, remember that the tabernacle, and then it was to be the temple, you had the most holy place. That is where you had the presence of God, in the most holy place. There was God, his presence, and only one person went in there, and only once a year. But now, through Jesus, we can have access into the presence of God. Our home with him. God being there with his people, his people being there with him. And Jesus is the way. He goes to the cross. He dies. He breathes his last. And what happens when he does that? Curtain of the temple is torn in two. Jesus opens up access to God the Father so that we can have life with him. Forgiveness of sin and life. Our home here will not last. Our home is with God the Father. And Jesus, he has made that possible. He has opened up the way by going to the cross, by laying down his life and dying for us. You know that? Yes? You know that. So remember it, live it, and look forward. Look forward to that day. Look forward to that day when you will be there in this place that Jesus has prepared. You will be there with God the Father in the presence of God and all his people. So look forward to that day and that welcome home party that you will receive when you go there, when you are received by Jesus. Because we have life, because we are in Christ, through nothing that we've done, but all because of what Jesus has done for us. Now, if this is new to you, then love to explore it more. We run a short course called Christianity Explained, where we look at the one life, that's what it's called, and we explore more about who Jesus is and why he died and what it means to believe in him. So if that's you, love to explore that with you further. What we're going to do now, we're going to hear a testimony. It comes from a lady from the Riverston Church called Rebecca Quist. She's in her mid-30s. She's been diagnosed with cancer. But she has a great story to tell of her home and her hope. And we are going to have a watch and a listen to it right now.
It's pretty scary, you know, being told that this could be terminal. It's a scary thing. But for me to say that, with absolute confidence, with joy and a peace, I think it's an amazing thing. My husband and I haven't really been well off. Well, neither of us have been well off. And so building our home here on Earth, it did stress us out at the beginning of our marriage. We have to buy a house. We need a big TV. We have to get a nice car. We need to go on these holidays because everyone's going on these holidays. We haven't been to Disneyland. Half the people in her class have been to Disneyland. And those things were really stressing us. Those things don't matter at all. Not at all. Especially when you get to a point where you're thinking that you could die and you think, what is actually really important? The house isn't really important, the holidays, the cars. What is most important is that I tell my children every day that I love them but most of all that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for them, and that they grow up knowing with no uncertainty that Christ is their saviour, and that their home is in heaven, and that they live here until they go home. So I was originally found with a colon cancer. Then with more tests, they discovered I also have 5 lesions in my liver. One of those lesions is very large and it's on one of the main arteries to the heart. And I also have lots of smaller lesions and cancers growing throughout my whole peritoneum area. I guess like mold you see growing on your wall, like little spots, spores, that's what it's like in there. So God has a plan. And I know that. And I know in the Bible he promises so often that he will never leave us. That he knows every little thing that's going on in our bodies. There are many people going through many different things. Painful life experiences right through to medical. And God's love covers every situation. So that's, I really hope that it can be an encouragement for someone to get their Bible open and read God's promises and know that he's with you, no matter what. It's just reminding me, God is with me, God is for me, not against me. He's working his kingdom in me. Then I wonder, what is he working? What is he doing? And that's exciting too. I've got a friend and she brings things over and I tell her about Christ. And the relationship, that knowing God is a relationship. It's not about ticking boxes. It's not about being a good person and going to church. And, I mean, those things are great. But all they have to do is have a relationship with Christ. And in hospital, talking to the nurses about how God is blessing us. God is so good. He's so good, as I said, all the time. Even in times where you think, oh, I really would prefer God there. Kind of get rid of this cancer thing and let me go back to work and make things back to normal. And God's just saying, not yet. Not yet. Not something, something still to come. My hope lies completely in Christ. Like there is no other hope. God is in control of all things. He has already written the story. He has predestined us to be where we are at this time. And there is a reason for everything. What the reason is for me to have 3 different types of cancers and all these things going on, I can't see currently. But that really doesn't matter because I'm not God. He knows me so well. And he loves me so much, and I know that I have a home in heaven. I know that he's prepared this home. He's been preparing this home. You know, when he was going back to heaven, he said, oh, I'm preparing a home for you. I'll claim that. I'll stand there and go, you said you have a home for me. I'll say that, and I know that he does.
That's a great testimony, isn't it? A great story to have the trust in God for what she's going through at the moment, and that sure and certain hope that her home is in heaven with God, and that's where God is calling her. And she doesn't know that that's going to be days or weeks or months, but she knows that is her home, and that is where she's headed. And we're going to watch one more video, and this one. We're going to think more about our area and some of the implications for us as a church and for us as a parish. And after this, we'll respond in prayer and in song. Thank you.
Well, 3 years ago, this was just paddocks. Used to be horse paddocks, used to be dairy, market farms. But now, there are established communities, established homes and schools, and it's still building, still growing. We all know that this area is just taking off so quickly, and it's going to keep going. And the people out here, they buy their block of land, they build their house, they're looking for the good life. A good life for them and their family. And we all want that, don't we? I love living here. And my family loves living here too. People are fantastic. And it's growing and growing. And building great communities with parks and schools. And you know, we've all seen it rolling out. It's just fantastic. But that's not good enough. To find a good life for our family, we all want that. I want that. But we need to find a life in Christ. We need to build up the kingdom of God, not just our houses and communities. That's why life is such a good name for our church. We share the life of Christ to the people in our church and our community. We're not doing life just on Sundays. We're doing it all through the week. We're doing it in our life groups. We're doing it in our ministries. We're doing it in all the different communities and ethnic groups of where we live. We want to share new life in Christ. We want a church for everyone. We want to be united with one vision and resources and strategies and leadership. We want to reach the area we're part of. You know, there's over 11 suburbs in our area, and the names of Riverston and Stanhope and Quakers Hill, these names aren't adequate to reach this entire area. But we need a name that connects no matter where you live. I know what some people might be thinking. This is empire building. That is so far from reality. We need to have a big view of what we're doing here. We have such a large area to serve. And we need to have a vision. We need to have a name that connects with everybody in our area. This area here is just paddocks and ponds and trees. There's a sign just down here at Schofields Railway Station saying for sale in the land development here. In just a few years' time, these paddocks will be transformed into roads and houses, and there's going to be thousands of people coming here. It's going to be a new community move in here. You know, the Quakers Hill Church is just 20 years old. And there are 85,000 people living in the area at the moment. In the next 20 years, there's going to be another 80,000 people moving here. We need to share our new life with Jesus to the world. The harvest is plentiful. And so we need to unite our strategy, our leadership, our time, our resources, our money, our everything. We need to be united with the one name, Life Anglican Church. Our vision here in our church is to help people find new life in Jesus and follow Him.
We want people to have life in Jesus and to live that life. So our church is now called Life Anglican Church. Quakers Hill, Stanhope, Riverston. We have this life. We have this life in Christ. We have words of life. We have the great hope of Christ. We want to share it. We want to live it. We want to speak these words of life. We want other people to have it as well. We are so small compared to the thousands of people who are living here. It is our prayer as a church, as a ministry team, that more people have life in Christ. And it is our prayer that it becomes or is your prayer as well. That more people have life in Christ and live that life. Let's pray.